kind of last question.
This is old audio that we're going to jump into. It's old audio of Kamala Harris. It's like 4 years ago. Talking about gun control. It's going to be one of the many things we're jumping into. Happy Friday to you. Dana Loesch here. You can listen to the program Coast to Coast, and you can also watch the simulcast on channel 347 DirecTV. Find us on Rumble, X, all that good stuff. So that's just the big story, which is really what we need to kick off with, is the VP stuff, because the Veep stakes are heading towards the finish line. And I had a piece that went out on Substack yesterday that got into how it looks like they may be choosing Josh Shapiro, maybe. And the reason I say that is because he had canceled, you know, literally everything. He cleared his whole schedule, and he had a couple of fundraisers up there as well. He cleared out his fundraisers and kind of cleaned out his schedule. But that's not the only person. He's not the only person who cleared out his schedule. And this is where it gets weird, because you also had Poop Booty Juice, who apparently also cleared out his schedule. It's a little weird. And a couple of other ones also cleared out their schedule. Tim Walz did too. I don't think anyone suspects that Secretary Mayor Newmom Poop Booty Juice is going to be the nominee for VP. I really don't think anybody believes that. So it's kind of funny that, you know, he's the guy who's, you know, he's clearing out his schedule. But Andy Beshear, Tim Walz, and Josh Shapiro and Poop Buttigieg all canceled events over the coming days. So it's either, you know, the speculation is that, you know, maybe she's trying to dodge and fake people out and all this other stuff with it. Or maybe, just maybe, they're going to have a four-way fight to see who's going to be the VP. So it, you know, kind of remains to be seen with that, you know. So we'll, you know, we'll figure that out. But in the meantime, as I wrote, Josh Shapiro looks to be like the most obvious VP running mate. It looks like he, you know, might be. I mean, that's what it seems like. And he's, you know, he's not a moderate, but he's moderate enough for them to project moderation from the candidate. I mean, he's moderate enough. So that's going to be, I think here, Beshear will be her best bet for this. You know, ultimately, I really think that, you know, she's going to have a governor, because she's the most, as we said, she's the most unaccomplished Democrat candidate. I mean, you know, I think that we've ever seen. I was going to say even maybe next to Barack Obama, but Barack Obama, I will say, at least served like all of his Senate time by the time he got nominated, where she, I mean, she just doesn't have a lot. She doesn't have a lot of merit. So I don't know. We're going to see about this. But I think that she's going to have a governor on the ticket with her. She's not going to be able to just, I don't think she's going to be able to pick somebody like Mark Kelly, the senator. That's just kind of the way it is. I just don't think she's going to be able to pick. They're not going to be able to pick somebody like Mark Kelly. She's going to have an Andy Beshear. She's going to have a Josh Shapiro. That's how it's going to have to be. And so, you know, with that, you know, if she picks a Shapiro, it's going to piss off the Dearbornistans. And they've been up in arms over Israel defending itself, you know, against Gaza for forever. So it's going to make them mad. And, you know, we'll see. But one of the things that it will do, and I'm looking at the newsletter. I had it on the newsletter for you. If you are a subscriber to that over at Substack, when you look at Pennsylvania, they are virtually tied. I mean, it's like, you know, they're virtually tied. It's, you know, they're neck and neck. They're tied because it's within the margin of error is what it is. You know, they're tied because they're in the margin of error. So with that, I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at right now, and we'll sort of see how this goes. But it looks like it is going to be Beshear. So now in Pennsylvania, because they're neck and neck, if she does, or sorry, Shapiro, if she does pick a Shapiro, what ends up happening is that will, you know, potentially help swing state Pennsylvania towards Democrats, and it will help Harris, who is, you know, like I said, locked in this, you know, virtual tie with Trump, when factoring in this, you know, this margin of error. So that's what we're looking at right now. So that's the some of the VP stakes, and it'll probably give her a decent bump in the polls. And we're going to talk about all of that here coming up, but it'll probably give her a decent enough bump in the polls for it. So in with this, as I was telling you, you have Waltz, you have Shapiro, you have, you know, Buttigieg. I really don't give a rat's ass about any of these people. I really don't, if I'm being honest. It's going to be one of these jokers. It's going to be one of them. She accidentally called herself president when she was in Houston at Sheila Jackson Lee's service. She referred to herself as the president of the United States, which is kind of funny because she's not. Listen to this. This is when she was speaking about it.
Which, as a United States senator, I was proud to co-sponsor. And then as vice president, it was my honor with the president.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just totally accidental. That's right. Just completely accidental. Just totally accidental. That's all. Now, I've got a bunch of flashback audio, and we're going to have a whole segment on the gun control stuff, which is, we're going to get into that. But and Josh Shapiro also is a big gun control guy, which we're going to highlight some of his stuff as well on that, because they would be just two little gun control FUDs in just peas in a pod together. So, well, you know, it could, I mean, and it, he's been really mouthy lately, I think. So it makes me kind of wonder if he's not setting himself up for stuff. So we'll see. But their VP stakes, I mean, she's going to be announcing, you know, really, really soon. In the next few days, she's set to announce a pick. So we'll see. I mean, now it's a mad scramble and a lot of infighting in that party. Now, in the meantime, it looks kind of like the Bidens have all been pushed out. Lorraine found this morning. His public schedule, Joe Biden's public schedule. I don't know if you've seen it. He's back to Delaware. He went, let's see. He had a out-of-town pool call time, 7:30 in the morning. He departed the White House at 9 o'clock this morning. And then he's already back in Delaware. And that's it. That's it. That's it for, and we don't have, and then they call the lid at noon. So it's almost like they're pushed out. When you look at his schedule, he's not really doing a whole hell of a lot. And it looks kind of, you know, did you guys see the video of him yesterday? He wandered onto the plane that after everybody got off, he wandered onto the plane that he was, that everybody got off on. And he went over to the plane. Kamala Harris is walking with him. And he grabs and he just starts walking up the steps. And everyone's like, what the hell are you doing? I don't know if he was trying to show everybody that he could walk up the steps. It was just really weird. But he gets up on the steps and just walks on the plane. And that's it. Bye, guys. I mean, that plane's not going anywhere. That's not Air Force One. And everyone just sort of stood out there watching awkwardly. I guess they were waiting for him to realize that it wasn't Air Force One. I'm watching the video now. It's just so funny. I mean, I don't know how long Harris stood out there. This whole video is like 2 minutes and 26 seconds. And I'm just watching the video and I'm just going to, you know, talk over it because it's a long video. And I'm like, at some point, surely he's going to come back down off of the steps and, you know, realize that he is not on Air Force One. Harris looks around awkwardly. Some of the other cars pull up. The aides, no one goes up the stairs after him. I don't know if they're hoping that someone's on the plane to tell him, the hell are you doing? You need to get off the steps. Like, nobody's, this is not Air Force One. I mean, he climbs in the video. It's like the 29 seconds in, he climbs the steps. I'm already at the 115 mark, and he's still on the plane. And so one of the aides kind of steps forward, and he goes to the stairs, and they're all very ginger about it. Like, they don't, you know, it's so weird. It is so, the weirdest video ever. He's in on it forever. Someone suggested, well, maybe he's using the bathroom. Like, he was on the tarmac and he just climbed a random plane to use the bathroom. It just doesn't make any sense either. But I mean, Harris is standing at the bottom of the steps a few feet away, looking around, very awkward. It's so awkward. And he's still on the plane. We're almost at the 2 minute mark and he's still on the plane. He's on the plane still. No one knows what the hell he's doing. And everyone's just, and then he comes back and he stands at the top and he looks out like, can I do this? And then he comes down the steps this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's so weird. And Harris, I mean, he was up there. He didn't get off the plane. You're watching it now. He's sitting, he stands there and he looks and, he just gets off the plane. It is so weird. Why did he? And she looks like she's sort of laughing, but not really. It's just odd. The whole thing's odd. It is so weird. But it was, I mean, it took him, he was on there a minute and a half at least. Someone said, oh, he went in to thank the pilots. No one thought that. No one literally thinks that. Kamala was looking around like, please help. Someone help. Do you honestly think that he went to check thank the pilots? No one believes that. That's so stupid. The pilots empty. Get off at that point. They don't just sit there. This isn't like a big commercial jetliner. This is so stupid. So, I don't know. I look at videos like that, and then I look at his schedule, and he's just, I can see he's getting pushed out. We got a lot to get into as we roll towards headlines still. We got more on the Veep Stakes, all of that. Our partners, because everything's probably going to go to HE Double Hockey Sticks anyway. That's why November's important is Gold Co. Look, you work your entire life and you save. You do the responsible thing and you save. So why is it that government's irresponsibility can put everything that you've worked for into jeopardy? So this is why you need to diversify and protect your savings with Gold Co. It is a top-rated company with thousands of five-star reviews and a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. And they've helped people like you and me place over $3.5 billion in gold and silver. They have a special one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers that explains to you the entire economy of it, how gold IRAs work, the whole nine yards. And anything, any question you want to ask them, you can find out. You can ask them. They'll walk you through it. No pressure. They're all about transparency. And this is a very important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. So diversify today. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Learn how you can get started. And you'll get a complimentary wealth protection kit. So that's going to arm you with the facts about precious metals. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, the Dow's closed nearly 500 points lower on Thursday as investors' recession fears awaken. This is according from CNBC. The latest numbers, which we're going to get into, are not good at all. In fact, I mean, are you really shocked over any of this stuff? Because I'm not. No one's shocked over it. This new study says dogs help their owners become healthier. 61% of dog owners admit that spending time with their dog is the single best part of their day. I agree. I wish that I could not see, except for you guys. I like you guys. I would just love to spend only time with dogs. No people, because people are horrible. Just dogs. But they said this, and this is like one of the million surveys that they come out with. I don't even understand what the point of the survey is. It's stupid. It's the same as the stupid survey that we had in Stupid Headlines last year. It's the same stuff. It's all dumb. Dogs are amazing, though. They're great. We like dogs. Sea lions are stranded on California's coast with signs of poisoning by harmful algae. I don't even know how this happens, but they said it apparently has. They said that sea lions they're stranded on this stretch of California coast with signs of, it's like the algae bloom or whatever, something like that. They said that there's this stretch of the coast and they've been eating harmful algae. The Channel Islands and Marine Wildlife Institute said that since July 26, they've been inundated by daily reports of sick sea lions along a whole 155 miles of shoreline in Santa Barbara and Ventura counties. The marine mammals, it works too, they're suffering from domoic acid. It's a neurotoxin that affects the brain and heart, and it's largely affecting adult female sea lions. Because algae is sexist. The nonprofit said that it rescued 23 animals so far. They said that they see the outbreaks of this. It's like that, it's the this weird blooming algae is what it is. They foam at the mouth, they can have seizures. Maybe don't eat the algae, stupid sea lions. Actually, it's not their fault. It really isn't. It's probably our fault. It's probably MAGA fault. Who knows? I mean, isn't that usually how it goes? The Army's $11 million deal, sorry, with The Rock has backfired spectacularly. The Army spent millions of dollars getting Dwayne Johnson and his football league. Daily Beast, rotten hell with your stupid pop-up ads. With their little, his football league, they said that the contract required him to post 5 Army ads on his Instagram, and he only posted 2. And then the UFL, that minor league competitor to the NFL that he co-owns, they were also to play these ads during games and place them on players' uniforms. But apparently the deal was so catastrophic that the Army projected it may have lost 38 enlistments instead of gaining thousands of new recruits, and they want their money back. I've heard that he can be a diva. I've heard that. I've heard a lot of stories about The Rock from a lot of people who've worked with him. Just saying. And they're like, oh, he's a good partner. I'm going to kind of believe some of the people that I know that have worked with him, and they're like, he's a diva. I also heard that Jack Black smells from a very famous actor that I'm not going to name. They did. He's no longer on Earth, but, you know. So, interesting. And shoplifters point to inflation as main reasons for stealing. Can I also point to inflation for main reasons for punching you in the face? That'd be great. So, coming up, gun control. 2024 Bread and Circus. More. Our new partners to the program. It's a Burn-A-Gun. Burn-A-Gun is new to the show, and it's a great way to have options for self-defense, particularly when you can't bring your gun everywhere with you because, you know, you have gun-free zones that exist. And some people don't have the luxury of just not going to them. You know, I have friends that work in whole entire towns, live and work in towns where you can't half the time you can't even bring your gun in anywhere. But they don't want to be completely defenseless in this era of restorative justice. So they carry a Burn-A-Gun. It's BYRNA, and it gives you really great. It's a great option for self-defense as well when you can't bring your firearm with you. It's a non-firearm firearm. It doesn't care about your gun-free zone signs. There's no waiting period. There's no background check. It's legal in all 50 states. And it shoots chemicals. The most popular model is the Byrna SD. It shoots a chemical irritant projectile that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. If you compare it to stun guns, those are restricted to just a couple of shots. The Byrna SD has a 7-round capacity. So you can learn more about the Burn-A-Gun and visit Byrna.com/Dana and take 10% off of your purchase through that. Check out all of your options. They have different models. They have different projectiles, accessories. There's a lot of stuff to look at, and you can see it at Byrna.com/Dana. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have to take action.
Senator, on the assault weapons ban, a majority of Americans polled in just October said they oppose it. If these massacres can't convince them to support an assault weapons ban, how would you as president?
If my recollection serves correctly, a majority of Americans said they didn't want seatbelts in cars. Certain things just must be done for the best interest of the whole.
So that's Kamala Harris. I want to just give you the context of this audio. It's audio that's 4 years old. It's 4 year old audio. And she's explaining her gun control position. She's also, it's in the middle of the Democrat primary. So it's the Democrat presidential primary from 2020. And she's explaining in Vegas her positions on gun control. And There are a couple of points where she had said, she was bragging at one point. I posted about it on X. She was bragging at one point how she was the only candidate to call for confiscation. She said she was the only candidate that called for confiscation, and how that's, you know, she's, this kind of goes into how I've said over and over again, she's to the left of Joe Biden. And she said, audio soundbite 11, this is where she was talking about it. This is where she goes back to that executive order to get the ATF to take away people's FFLs on top of it. And I'll explain more about this, but listen to this.
Senator.
And I will tell you, when elected president, I am prepared to take executive action. I am prepared to say, and I will say, the United States Congress gets 100 days to pull their act together on this and put a bill on my desk for signature. And if they do not, I will take executive action and put in place a comprehensive background check I will require the ATF to take the gun licenses of gun dealers who violate the law. And I will put, by executive action, a ban on the importation of assault weapons into our country.
Yeah, so the ATF with gun licenses, and we've talked about this and I've written about it. The ATF with gun licenses, the ATF has already been taking gun licenses. That's the other thing that we should point out as well. But we'll get into that because that happened after she was named vice president. Biden becomes president. They really weaponized the ATF to really go after a lot of these FFLs. But so again, four-year-old audio, and I was tweeting about it this morning. And the reason why I'm bringing back this old audio, although it's not really that old, again, it's from the primary. The reason that I'm bringing this stuff up is because her campaign insists that she doesn't believe this anymore. Her campaign is trying to insist that she doesn't believe in mandatory confiscations. Her campaign, just like they were insisting that she is not the border czar, they're trying to insist that she doesn't believe in mandatory confiscations anymore, that this is not something that she backs. She doesn't believe this. Why are you talking? So, I mean, I've got a lot of questions about it, as I'm sure you all do as well. What makes you change your mind on something if it's genuine? Like, when people have genuine conversions on things, you know, normally they're very eager to tell people all about it, right? They're very eager to tell people why it is that they changed what they believe and why they think the way they do. And they've never given an explanation of this. She's trying to moderate her positions because it's too extreme for most Democrat voters, is the reality of the situation. And she's to the left of Biden on this. Don't think for one second that she's not. I mean, what she's talking about here, and I'm going to play audio soundbite 10 for you. What she's talking about here, she talks about creating lists of people and then sending agents of state door to door to confiscate your lawfully owned property. So this is a little bit of a longer cut, but I want you to listen to it because they are going to work overtime. And by they, I mean the Harris campaign and the media. They're going to work overtime to try to convince you that you never heard any of this, that these positions in her mind were never held, that she never stated any kind of support for them. Listen to this. This is, again, in Vegas. And this question, this is Kerry Pickett, who is with the Washington Times, who's asking her this. Listen.
Senator, last question. Senator, I'm curious, though, because not one candidate who has very similar points to what you have when it comes to guns never really seems to talk about the process of perhaps banning certain guns. Does it involve law enforcement essentially going into people's houses looking for specific banned guns? Does it involve perhaps creating a database of people who are legal gun owners? I mean, what kind of process are we talking about here?
Well, first of all, as a point of distinction, I believe I'm the only one who has said that she will take executive action. So mine is not just a plan, some plan for legislation. I'm actually prepared to take executive action to put in place rules that improve this situation. I also have, as part of my background and experience, working on this issue when I was Attorney General. And we put resources into allowing law enforcement to actually knock on the doors of people who were on two lists, a list where they had been found by a court to be a danger to themselves and others, and were on a list where they were precluded and prohibited from owning a gun because of a conviction that prohibited that ownership. And those lists were combined, and then we sent law enforcement out to take those guns. Because, listen, we have to deal with this on all levels. But we have to do this with a sense of urgency, and we have to act. Enough of the talk. And again, I really have to stress, lawful gun ownership, that is one thing. We're talking about something else. And we have to stop conflating and blending all.
But that's what she's doing, though, right here, because while she's simultaneously accusing everyone else of conflating it. Let me point out that, you know, she's the gun control czar. She was selected to oversee all of their gun control initiatives through the Office of Gun Violence Prevention. And that's the office that orchestrates all of the gun control policies that they have. And they did that bipartisan Safer Communities Act. And that act also was setting up financial institutions like Bank of America to start saving your purchase history to create a de facto gun registry. In fact, if you remember, Bank of America actually handed over a bunch of that information to the ATF without any probable cause or any warrants at all whatsoever. My friend John Lott had a piece about that over at Crime Research, where he said that, you know, this is where they have actually, they have almost 1 billion transactions so far, and this is Biden-Harris, and they have been digitizing all of these records for licensed gun dealers, collecting and digitizing them. And Bank of America provided, and I said the ATF, I meant the FBI, excuse me, provided the FBI transactions, any transaction that was made with a Bank of America account, essentially, so that they could track purchases. And I'm talking about like firearm purchases. This is something that Congressman Thomas Massey and Congressman Jim Jordan with the House Judiciary Committee and the Subcommittee on the Administrative State Regulatory Reform, they sent letters to Citigroup, they sent letters to Chase and Company, to JP Morgan, to PNC Financial Services, Truist, U.S. Bank Corp, Wells Fargo, about banks giving voluntarily the federal government our private financial data. And this was post January 6th, because they used January 6th as like the initial launch pad for a lot of this information gathering. And a good chunk of it was gathering information about firearms, and particularly Bank of America. If you did anything with a debit or credit card, they were able to kind of take that, and like I said, a de facto registry. And so this is something they sent tons of letters out about, and they were trying to demand answers from Bank of America. And the even though they've been trying to establish this in the face of registries that you have registries in states like state registries like in California, and you have them in Maryland, and you have them in Hawaii and Illinois, essentially, but they have never done anything to solve any crime, nor have they reduced any crime. I mean, you've had, Canada has an entire country registry, and that hasn't done anything. But the point is that this feeds into what she's saying. When she's talking about lists, she's not just talking about prohibited possessors, which that's already federal statute. You know, if you're a prohibited possessor, you're not supposed to be in possession of a firearm, right? You're not supposed to have any of that. And if you continue to have it, that's not a loophole or a failure of the law. That's just you being in violation of the law. And so when she's talking about going door to door, she was asked this too. She talked about this on Jimmy Fallon's show. She was saying that what would constitute a visit, or what would necessitate a visit, is if people were holding on to quote unquote assault weapons, right? And this is, she keeps talking about the assault weapons ban and confiscation of this, et cetera, et cetera. This is audio, I believe you said audio number 13. So this is when I think Jimmy Fallon, but she was talking about the mandatory nature of this confiscation. Listen.
I'm prepared to take executive action and put in place a ban on the importation of assault weapons into our country. But we still have to deal with the over 2 million assault weapons that are currently in the streets of America. And so a buyback program is a good idea. If Congress fails to act, I'll give them 100 days to put a bill on my desk for signature. And if they do not do it, I will put in place by executive action a comprehensive background check requirement and a ban on the assault weapons and importation of assault weapons into our country. I'm done.
And that's why
she's done, she says. She's done. Now, she has talked about this for years. She has talked about this back in 2019. She gave, she was at, with, it was MSNBC and a Michael Bloomberg group. And she gave a speech in which she endorsed Australia's gun confiscation program. And which, by the way, their ownership, firearm ownership, is now at pre-ban levels. But she was talking about their gun confiscation program and how the United States can and should do the same thing. She was not only talking to, and she talked about the importation of those firearms. She wanted to ban all semi-automatic. I mean, she's talking about all semi-automatic firearms. And when she was questioned about that, even during the debate, you know, she made it very clear that that's what she's talking about. This doesn't just go to, you know, oh, it's a quote unquote assault weapons. This is an open invitation for all semi-automatic firearms. So my point in bringing all of this up and noting this is that she's trying to moderate her position But yet every single step that has been taken under Biden-Harris has been to strengthen the ability to act on that in the next administration. So like the collecting of data, the bank data, going after, you know, importation, things like this, you know, the demanding national red flag laws and all this other stuff. They have done a lot, even with the advent of this, you know, the gun violence prevention, you know, whatever department that they've had, to try to further act on this in a subsequent administration. And she's never taken a step. She's never backed away from it. She's never tried to undo any of it. In fact, she, in this time, has traveled all over the country. And every chance that she can, when this topic comes up, that's what she mentions. You don't, in just 1 week, in one election cycle, say, oh, you know what? I've changed my mind on this stuff that I've said for 7 years. And that's just what I've said nationally for 7 years. Longer than that, even. You don't just change your mind on this stuff. She's trying to moderate her position so that she can win over independents who are put off by her extremist approach to this. And none of her stuff, none of the stuff that she's talking about, obviously would work anyway. But this is, she is the most extreme anti-gun candidate to have ever run for office. When you look at her position, when you look at where she stands on every single issue and what she's done thus far, she is the most extreme anti-gun candidate that is running, that has run. She is to the left of Biden. So all of this stuff should be factored in going into November, because this is, you know, this is her sending agents of state. And I go back to my question to the left. I don't understand how so many people on the left can say, you know, the state killed George Floyd, or the state killed Atiana Jefferson, or the state killed Breonna Taylor, and say all these things, and then point to how the state behaved in Uvalde and how the state didn't do anything for Parkland. And then also simultaneously say that not only do you want the state being the only entity that has the guns, but you also want the state to come to your door and forcibly take them from you. She's calling for violence. This is dangerous. It's incredibly dangerous. And then, of course, you know, if it is Josh Shapiro, well, you know, he's calling for something similar. We've got that audio as well that we'll touch on. We got to get moving, though. Our partners that help bring you free radio, ReadyWise. ReadyWise is, that's like food insurance, really. I mean, you want to have, you'd rather have it, not need it, than need it, not have it. And this is where making sure that you have healthy, premium survival food. This is very important. Entrees, breakfast, drinks, the whole thing. They have two different offers for you. One is you can use code DANA20 at checkout and you'll get 20% off any regularly priced item. The other is a 72-hour food kit, which is a buy one, get one, $100 value for $50. And each of the kits have over 11,000 total calories. And all food always made with the highest quality U.S. ingredients. And it's packed right here and shipped out from a state-of-the-art U.S. plant. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, 25-year shelf life. You know, just add water to get it ready. That's all you need to do. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code DANA20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. Because you never want to worry about what you're going to feed your family if anything goes sideways, via nature or politics. ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA for 20% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs. Whenever you want, subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Not, I'm still, you're stuck with me as president for a while, kid. There's no way out, okay? You got me for at least another 100 or 90 days or so.
He doesn't know about that. He doesn't know what that means. He's not even really the president anymore. He's in Delaware. They already stuck him to Delaware. They called a lid at noon. Actually, they called a lid for him 56 minutes ago. So, no, that's it. That's, you know, that's all it is. I tell you what, it does feel like, and Lorraine noted this too, it feels like the family is discarded. Like they have him just because he's the president right now. And then that's it. They're done. Their influence is gone. Everything's gone with them. Everything's gone. That's it. I mean, it is kind of fascinating, really, when you think of it, how quickly, you know, they went from making deals to, and it's all dependent on Joe because they built everything up to be around Joe. And then you saw the video of Joe where he went on someone else's plane. That was so bizarre to me. I don't know. We have so much coming up in the next couple of hours. Let me give you an idea. So the latest in 2024 Bread and Circuses. So the Taiwanese boxer who failed the gender test, he easily won his match against a woman in Paris. I'm sure you're entirely shocked by that. I am so shocked. Wow. Can you believe? And everyone is fascinated with the Turkish shooter, the competitive shooter, who literally walked out with his hand in his pocket in a t-shirt and won a silver medal. And everybody's been comparing him to all of like the fully kitted out South Korean shooters because they all look like stands from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And they're all like the way that they pose and they're all kitted out and they get their special glasses and their uniforms and hats. And then this guy from Turkey is like, whatever. It's like, it looks like he literally just came out of the parking lot smoking a cigarette and then, you know, dusted his hands off, put his hand in his pocket, just, you know, standing there all cash-like. And wins a silver medal. We're going to talk about that as well, because I think everybody's feeling him. And we got all the latest with foreign policy, domestic. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio, the folks over at Kel-Tec. The P15 is an awesome, awesome pistol. It's absolutely, it's like an all-around. I mean, it's something that you definitely need to have in your collection. Sleek, compact, 15-round capacity, lightweight, and powerful. And there's the metal frame version. You have the polymer as well, striker fire pistol, textured grips, true classic look and feel. I have both of them. Metal version looks like a James Bond gun. It's awesome. Tried them in fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot reader, keeps you on target. You got the striker fire reliability, great pull, and lifetime warranty as well. This is great, and it's just really ideal for concealed carry self-defense, and it's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. It is the P15 9mm, concealable, dependable, and you've got your firepower, quality made right here in the US of A. So check them out, KeltecWeapons.com. You can learn more there, K-E-L-T-E-C, KeltecWeapons.com. Bring the P15 to the range today and tell them Dana sent you.
This is just an extraordinary testament to the importance of having a president who understands the power of diplomacy and understands the strength that rests in understanding the significance of diplomacy and strengthening alliances. This is an incredible day.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. I remember there was one time in, I think it was biology, because history was easy, but I had to write something about the cell or some kind of paper, and I just was done writing about it. But I had a word count that I had to meet. And towards the end of the paper, I was just throwing all kinds of word webs out there, trying to just stretch it as much as possible. Well, and the mitochondria, as one would know of mitochondria, is the powerhouse or the thing that powers the house of the mitochondria, the cell in which the mitochondria is in. And I just constructed this like Rube Goldberg sentence diagram so I could get all the way to the finish line of the word count. Now, that was just one paper when I was in junior high. This is her every day. That's Kamala Harris every single time. She sees a microphone and she just, there's like something that happens in her mind where she just has to talk and she doesn't wind down. And Joe Biden, if we can throw, we don't have to play it again, but if we could throw it back up there, Joe Biden standing next to her, his chin disappeared into his collar. I don't know what happened. It like his chin slid all the way down his neck into his collar. And he just, she's talking and he's looking at her like the hell. And she keeps going. And then he just, he is that profile. He just looks like, oh my gosh. I think he just fell asleep standing up is what I think happened. But his face is literally all of us. And at one point he kind of turns and looks and just like, oh.
I think he may have walked on that plane just to escape.
He probably did. Like he's looking at her now. If you're not watching the simulcast, let me voice act it. And you know, things that stuff.
This particular Biden body double looks really good, though.
It's so perfect.
So it looks convincing.
You think that's a body double?
It's very convincing. Look at that.
Can they trim? Can I just point out something?
Small
mullet. Please, for the love of all things holy, will you trim whatever fuzz is at his nape?
He's going for a mullet.
His hair, it's not a mullet yet.
He's going for it.
But it's like sticking out at his nape.
You can't just all of a sudden just poof out a mullet.
Which, by the way, I hate that word, nape. On Attack on Titan, they always talked about that all the time. Go for the nape. Sorry, you have to know it. But I hate that word. But anyway, it sticks out like I can see things under it. Juan, if you do not screen cap what you just have in the monitor right there, I'll never forgive you. Wait till he turns, and then you're going to see some red in between the hair. And I mean, you can see it sticking out.
There it is.
It's sticking out.
It's kind of like an umbrella.
Right there. Oh my gosh. Like, cut that.
It's his mullet.
Why would you not trim it? Who's what? You know what? I can tell Jill hates him. Because if my husband went out with his hair looking like that, I would hold him down like I was wrestling a pig, and I would chop that off the end of his nape. I would cut that off. That's like duck fluff sticking off the ass of a duck. That's what it is. It's duck fluff. Quack, quack. I mean, my gosh.
It's like an awning made of mullet.
It's not even a proper mullet.
A little bit.
Because you can see underneath it. It's just sticking out. Who allows the man to do this?
You can see a streetlight from across the road there, right in between.
Why does Jill allow her man to go and do... I'm going to tell you something. No self-respecting woman, no good, decent woman allows her man to go out with his hair looking like this. None. You can always tell in a couple if the woman hates the man, because if the man has hair like this and that woman is not giving him grief for it, she hates him. Hates him. That's how you can tell. There's no way. I'd bristle him down. I'd cut it off. I'd shave it off while he's sleeping. There's no way. Because it's also a reflection of you, ladies, right? Come on, ladies, be honest about it. You look at his hair as an extension of your hair, so it has to look nice, you know? And if it don't look nice, then you don't look nice, and that's problems. But that's duck fluff. I can't get over this. The leader of the free... Well, you know, for all intents and purposes, leader of the free world. And he's got duck fluff hanging off the back of his neck. And then you got, you know, Willie Brown's ex-girlfriend out there word salading. I just can't. This is like Dumb and Dumber, but in real life. Our pets' heads are falling off. I mean, it's just so bad. Oh my gosh, I can't get over that. Cut that. Trim it. It's not hard. Good heavens. So neither of them spoke well. Let's just put it like this. They get them on the tarmac, and not a single one of them met the challenge of speaking well. So you just heard her. Which one is he? Is three the one where he's there? Is that him talking?
I think so.
Okay, let's play. That's a press conference. What? Because didn't he talk on the tarmac too? And it was horribly bad. I mean, it was so bad I can't even differentiate anymore. Both of them were just like.
We did play cut five. That was from the tarmac too, I think, right?
Oh my gosh. Let's look at this one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So this is where he's talking about the assassination of Hamas's leader, Ismail Haniyeh, who's dead now. And he's talking about a Gaza ceasefire deal. Barely. He's barely talking. Listen.
I'm very concerned about it. I had a very direct meeting with the Prime Minister today. And, very direct. We have the basis for a ceasefire. He should move on, and they should move on now. Pardon me? It's not helped.
It just is so weird. It's so weird. No energy. It's so weird. Kane and I were talking about the time when they caught Trump on the tarmac. He was leaving it's like a political rally.
Yeah.
And someone just told him that Ginsburg kicked the bucket, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And he was like, oh, I didn't know that. And it was like a movie scene. And Elton John was playing in the background, not like the person, but like the song was playing in the background. What was it, Candle in the Wind?
Yeah, yeah. And then he said something just really poignant and nice.
That was the score of it. It was fascinating. But kind of the difference, the tarmac measure. They just look both so bad, guys. Oh, my word. Now, I think with Kamala Harris, I don't know that a VP pick has ever been more important than it is for her. I mean, you guys have seen, well, you've heard her try to talk. You've seen her try to talk. None of it's good. It's all. But I think that whoever she picks, they have got to make her look better. They've got to make her look better. And I don't know who that's going to be. If it's going to be somebody like Josh Shapiro, if it's going to be an Andy Beshear, and I was telling you earlier that Shapiro cleared his schedule out, and I wrote a piece about it at Chapter and Verse. He cleared out his schedule, and they also had, who I think Beshear did too, and then you had a number of other, Buttigieg, Beshear, Tim Walz, Josh Shapiro all cleared their schedules. So it could be a four-way fight. It could be her campaign, like, faking everybody out. But I think Shapiro might be her best bet, particularly since Democrats have sort of stepped in it with the Jewish community because they've been trying to appease Dearbornistan. So I just feel like that may be her best bet. And also, Andy Beshear just looks like a FUD. He does. And Tim Walz isn't any better. He literally is a FUD. And then, well, I'm not even going to talk about the guy who's like the love child of Bob the Builder and Howdy Doody. We're not going to have that conversation. Good heavens. Now, a few other things to touch on here. We've had the 2024 Bride and Circuses. I don't know. I still have not been watching any of these. But I will say I have enjoyed the photos of the Turkish. Let me pull this up. This Turkish competitor. He's on the Turkish shooting team, and people were stunned when this dude, like, came out in a t-shirt, had his glasses on, was real chill, had his hand in his pocket, 51 years old, Yusuf Dikic, and he went out and won a silver medal. He had no specialized lenses. He had no ear pro, no ear protection, no eye. I mean, he was wearing glasses, so he doesn't really need any kind of eye cover already, I mean, technically. And when you compare him to all of the other competitors, especially if you look at South Korea's competitors, they legit look like JoJo characters, like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. They look like some kind of anime, Cowboy Bebop, whatever kind of characters. They're all kitted out. They have on these like specialized suits and they have their special glasses and they have their special hats and everything's special and they stand in weird special ways. I don't know. I guess this is how they train in South Korea and they look really, really cocky. And then you get this guy who just is sort of like a softer falling down type of vibe. You know, the movie with Michael Douglas. He looks like the fed up dad who just like walked out, hand in his pocket. It really is what elevates this. And he just goes out and he wins a silver medal. And what he was telling the press, he goes, I shoot with both eyes. Most shooters do it with one. So I didn't want all that equipment. Shooting with two eyes, I believe it's better. He goes, I've done a lot of research on it, so I didn't need the equipment. And then he goes, shooting with my hand in my pocket has nothing to do with artistry. I'm just more comfortable when shooting. And he's so confident. But he said, he goes, yeah, I'm just, he when he was asked about why don't you have any other, you know, accessories or anything like that. And he was like, I don't need it. I'm just a natural shooter. I'm a natural shooter. Oh, my gosh. That's like so he's a vibe, man. He is a whole vibe. Hey, Steve, is that Brat? Is he Brat? Do the Gen Z help? You're millennial, but help us evaluate the Gen Z application of Brat. Is he Brat?
No, he's not.
Yusuf Dikic? No, he's not. OK.
He's just a badass.
He's Juan's got to throw. Did I give you guys any images of the South Korean shooters?
We might get sent to the gulag if we put any more Olympic
images. Oh, wait, that's right. We can't. Just show me a JoJo character then, Juan. Just find me a JoJo's Bizarre. Same thing. There was one guy who was standing with. Yeah, so the Bread and Circus 24. I don't even know if we can show you any images on the simulcast because they've. How many times have they dinged us? I don't even know. They've gone after us. Every single time we even say the name of Bread and Circuses 2024, they come and get us. I'm not even exaggerating. We have received so many citations from them.
You should stop calling it Olympics and just call it Ozempic.
You could, the Ozempics.
Yeah, just the Ozempics.
But you don't have people with, like, I mean, everybody would, they look like athletes. They don't look like people with no muscle mass and saggy butts.
That points to the success of Ozempic.
But they have, like, we can't even show, didn't they ding us, Kane, if we when we showed something that said Olympics?
Yeah. We didn't even play any audio from it. We only showed the imagery from it.
Yeah, and there was no video. There was a photo, and it said it in the background, Juan, and somehow the algorithm was like, nope.
Juan has the photo. This is the one that...
It's the JoJo character?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I don't understand the stance. Now, this dude's in the Olympics, and I am not. No, you got to get his waist in there, Juan. You got to get the waist in if you can.
Okay, so now he's giving Brett.
And Steve comes in. He's giving Brett.
What does that mean?
What does giving it mean?
Oh, God. Okay, let's move on.
No. You're not going to be like, okay. No, you're not going to do that.
We got a break.
No. Juan's got his waist in there. That's the South Korean shooter. He looks like a JoJo character.
He's just giving period.
What?
Okay, let's go.
What? No, you can't just go, he's giving Brat, and then, like, we're supposed to roll
and
on.
And
then
we're going to continue off the air.
Giving is another form of saying, like, giving the aura of, you just cut it off to giving.
See, like, we're dumbing down
Riz?
Language. Too.
Is it like Riz?
You could be giving Riz, yeah.
So it's like giving Riz.
We're giving everybody who's watching this show shaken baby syndrome.
Educational Friday.
Trying to figure Educational Friday. All right. So the guy from Turkey, he's all of us right now. We got a lot more on the way as we roll into headlines. We're going to give you some headlines. And Steve just died. We're giving you headlines. Our new partners to the program. It's a Burn-A-Gun. Burn-A-Gun is new to the show, and it's a great way to have options for self-defense, particularly when you can't bring your gun everywhere with you because, you know, you have gun-free zones that exist. And some people don't have the luxury of just not going to them. You know, I have friends that work in whole entire towns, live and work in towns where you can't half the time you can't even bring your gun in anywhere. But they don't want to be completely defenseless in this era of restorative justice. So they carry a Burn-A-Gun. It's BYRNA, and it gives you really great. I mean, it's a great option for self-defense as well when you can't bring your firearm with you. It's a non-firearm firearm. It doesn't care about your gun-free zone signs. There's no waiting period. There's no background check. It's legal in all 50 states. And it shoots chemicals. The most popular model is the Byrna SD. It shoots a chemical irritant projectile that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. If you compare it to stun guns, those are restricted to just a couple of shots. The Byrna SD has a 7-round capacity. So you can learn more about the Burn-A-Gun and visit Burna.com/Dana and take 10% off of your purchase through that. Check out all of your options. They have different models. They have different projectiles, accessories. There's a lot of stuff to look at, and you can see it at Byrna.com/Dana. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Gen X and millennials face a higher risk of cancer than previous generations. It's probably because Gen Z is giving us all cancer. With words like brat and riz. We're all dying. I wish you guys should hear the conversation that we are having on break right now. Oh my gosh. It was published in the Lancet Public Health Journal, and I don't care anymore. I just, you know, if I had to choose, I'd be like, meteor, right? Macy Gray, what is an Ozempic emergency? She suffers an Ozempic. Did she like, you know, like go on air or something?
Oh no.
She said that she was short of breath and unable to walk. And, oh no, it was the opposite of she couldn't go. That's what happened to her. Oh no. It was that she had stopped a lot is what it was. That's apparently a side effect. All right, we have more. It was short this segment because we could not shut up about slang last segment. So I apologize. Stick with us. Sponsors for this portion of our program. It's Black Raffle Coffee. Oh my gosh, you guys, they give so much brat. Just drink the damn coffee. It's good coffee, right? And they have all these, they have like the best beans. They get the best beans from all over the world. And then they bring them to their facilities in Tennessee and Utah, and they roast them all throughout the week. Now, this is the only coffee that I will drink. Everything else tastes like sadness and disappointment. It's just awful. Everything else makes your life miserable. Black Rifle Coffee, though, it's affordable and it's the best coffee you're going to get. Veteran owned. They hire veterans and active duty, and they support veteran and first responder causes like equipment and health issues, all of that. Now, here's the cool thing. They got ground coffee, whole bean, K-cups ready to drink. The best way to get it, though, is with the coffee club. So you pick out what roast you want, how often you would like to receive it, and it shows up with free shipping, refay ipping shay on your porch, and you never have to worry about running out of coffee, which is a horrible thing to realize that you've done in the morning. And you can get 20% off of products using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com. And you'll also find on the website apparel and kettles and grinders, mugs and more, everything you need for the perfect brew. So see it for yourself today, blackriflecoffee.com. Sign up for that coffee club and order some coffee today. Get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off using code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Kyle Rittenhouse, outreach director for Texas Gun Rights. A lot of people are upset that I said I'm going to be writing in Ron Paul for president of the United States. And that is true. I will be writing in Ron Paul. Unfortunately, Donald Trump had bad advisors making him bad on the Second Amendment, and that is my issue. If you cannot be completely uncompromisable on the Second Amendment, I will not vote for you, and I will write somebody else in. We need champions for the Second Amendment, or our rights will be eaten away and eroded each day. I support my decision, and I have no takebacks.
So, I will say he's very young. I mean, he's like newly 21, isn't he? He's super young in all of this. So I want people to keep a level head, because everybody's raging. Like all of the, I guess the hardcore, because I think you have like people who like Trump, the hardcore people who love him. You have people who like him, people who love him, the hardcore people. And then, you know, you have the people who are ambivalent, and then you have people on the left. Welcome back, by the way, to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of the second hour. So that's Kyle Rittenhouse, who said he's writing in Ron Paul. I don't dislike Ron Paul. I just feel like that's a sentiment that's like over a decade old, right? That's like back in the 2012 era. That's back in the 2010 era. That's back in the 2008 era. Like, we got to keep going back. It's like old. That's and I don't dislike him. He's been on the program before. But I don't. Look, he's young, number one. Number two, he's not entirely wrong on some things when he's talking about criticism of that specific issue. And he put out, like, he had a graphic and all this stuff. Normally, I don't really talk about the opinions of people that don't own property and pay taxes or that are, like, super young. But he had talked about, he put out a record and he was mentioning the bump stock stuff and the fixed NICs, expanding the prohibited persons database, the red flag stuff. Raising minimum age to purchase, which he had supported, and he had looked at. He said that he was going to look at being. He gave a list of stuff, and he told Feinstein, and this is according to the graphic that he sent. You know, assault weapons ban and safety and school safety bill, et cetera, et cetera. Let me just point something out about youth in politics and also purity on issue, because I think that you can have a couple of different approaches and still not be a person for compromise. And you probably be pretty shocked at how little regulation I want for 2A. I mean, that it's mentioned in the Constitution is the regulation. That's kind of it, in my opinion. But I also know that this is the reality. This is the world in which we live. And this is, we have certain realities we have to deal with. And I want to go back really quick to, this was post Parkland. And there was a lot of pressure on lawmakers post Parkland. And I will never forget being at the town hall and watching Republican Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio has never come on the show, especially after I criticized him for this. And that's the way it is with a lot of politicians. If they hear I criticize them one time, they never will come on again. So I watched him crumble on stage where it concerned universal background checks and red flag law. And there was a lot of, and he wasn't the only Republican. He just happened to, that was crumbling on this. He just happened to be the Republican that was crumbling publicly in front of a nation on stage at a major town hall that was set up to be a political event by CNN a week after a massacre. And my understanding is that there were a couple of bills in committee that were looking at establishing red flag legislation, universal background checks. An assault weapons ban was less likely, but they were doing an Overton window approach where, well, okay, let's at least do red flag, national red flag legislation that had already passed under, at the time, Governor Rick Scott in Florida. He and a bunch of moderate Republicans, and there's still a lot of moderate Republicans in Florida legislature, and my understanding is that DeSantis has been kind of, there's been a little battle there to try to get some of that stuff rolled back, because DeSantis hated all that stuff. But under Governor Rick Scott, they passed, you know, this red flag stuff in Florida, and that was giving a lot of these other Republican politicians some shade to fold on a national version of this legislation. And so it was that they were also, they were also looking at the bump stock stuff. And all of this was bubbling up in legislation in the Capitol all at the same time. And Parkland was sort of like the straw that broke the camel's back for it. And there were a lot of Republicans that, just because they have R's after their name doesn't mean that they understand firearm law. It doesn't mean that they are, you know, firearm enthusiasts, none of that stuff. It just means that that's all it is. They have an R after their name. And there were a lot of Republicans in Congress that were really folding. And my understanding was that some of the legislation had was going to easily make it out of committee, make it to the floor, and probably had a really good chance of making it through the Senate. And one of those was the bump stock thing and a few others. So I know that there was like a, there's like a fight that was happening. And the thought process was, well, allow the ATF to deal. And I'm not saying I agree with this approach, but I'm telling you some of the thought processes that were out there. Allow the ATF to just go ahead and redefine stuff. And then, because then if the ATF does it, the administrative state doesn't have any legal foundation in doing it. And it's something that can be undone through lawsuit, which ultimately happened. But how many years did it stay in place, though? You see what I'm saying? Like, how many years did you have to deal with that as an illegality? And so because there was so much momentum in Congress to pass some of this stuff, the dodge was let these administrative agencies deal with it and redefine it how they want to. So then a lawsuit can undo it later. So it's not binding, because if Congress does it, it's going to be binding and impossible to get rid of. I don't support that, but I agree. I understand I don't agree with having it done, but I understand the logic of what they were trying to do, because there were too many weak Republicans that were terrified at the time of having this affect them with voters. So there was some strategy there. And then there was just also some goofy stuff that should never have happened or never have been said. I mean, red flag, national red flag legislation, the establishment of, you know, universal background check, you know, you can't take the guns and then go through due process. That undoes, you know, the absolute foundation of our judicial system. So, you know, I understand some of the fears and some of the criticisms. Now, like I said, I think that he's very young. And I also think that young people in politics don't necessarily understand strategy all the time. And I also think that when you're young and you haven't been through you haven't been bored to death and dulled by so many political battles, let's put it that way. Jaded. Yeah, you haven't been jaded. You're more emboldened, I think, to be more idealistic. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, because I think that sometimes it's a nice injection into the current status quo. What I am kind of questionable on, though, is all of the heat that he's getting. I don't understand that, because just a little bit ago, he was used as a litmus test of whether or not you supported the previous president or the administration, and that if you didn't believe that what he did was self-defense, which it was, then it was like it was just weird. Like he was sort of used as like an avatar of support. And now there are a lot of people that are raging against him, saying that he is betraying Trump. And the thing I'm questionable on is this. Were people supporting him about, and I'm talking about Rittenhouse, were they supporting him about doing what, was it about supporting him for doing what was right, or was it just about supporting 45. Because if you think that what he did was right and that it should be protected, then I don't know why you can't say, well, we disagree on this issue, but and leave it at that. Now there are people that want to totally destroy him because of this. And it's all over social media. Like the BBC wrote about it, all this stuff. And I just don't understand. Like, is it about supporting him because what he did was within his, he was within his rights? Or was it just a cult of personality thing? Because here's the, one of the things that the right, you've got to be careful of. And I think some of this is because you have a coalition. I don't even want to say big tent anymore because I think people misunderstand coalition and base. They're two different things. You have the base and then you have their allies in the coalition. You have to understand that when you're building a coalition, you're going to have some of the behavioral attributes of people who maybe were not ever part of the base to begin with. And some of those behavioral attributes that they're bringing over might include the desire to see hive mind. That is something that the left does. So if you have people who were just very recently on the left, or maybe who are moderate and leaned left, then if those people, which is great, if they're part of the coalition, you have to realize too that there are going to be, you know, the most zealous people are the new converts, and that you're going to see some of these behavioral attributes pop up in the coalition. And I think maybe that's some of what we're seeing. I don't know how else to put it. And maybe that's why people all of a sudden are like, he's persona non grata. He's excommunicado. You have to leave the Continental, because he said, I just don't understand how it can be flipped like a switch like that. You either think that what he did was right and just, or you never did to begin with. And now I see people just like, you know, no pun intended, gunning for him. So I don't know. I mean, is it a vote for Kamala? I think that a lot of people have died, so people have the free will of what to do with their vote, which is why I'm really uncomfortable of telling people how to vote. But I think that you should have as much information as possible to help inform you of how you're going to vote, and to make sure that you think before you vote and you understand the consequence of what that vote brings. But I'm not comfortable with telling people how to vote. And I'm not comfortable with, you know, going after people and chasing them down like some kind of rabid dog if they're not going to vote the exact same way that I do. Or if they, you know, are going to do a write-in or whatever. I had said in the beginning that he's young, and sometimes youth does not equip you with understanding full strategy of things, because the deeper you get into it, the more Machiavellian that things get, and the cloudier things might sometimes seem, even though the objective is clear. And I don't think in this race you have a pure, I don't think you can say you have a pure 2A candidate. I think you have a candidate who is better and can be more persuadable on 2A than the other. I've known Trump for over a decade. I've known Don Jr. I know Don Jr. very, very well. I texted him after when we were in Nassau, and I heard about I was getting like news about his dad, and I'm like, oh my gosh, because I couldn't get any updates. And he had said that, you know, everything was okay, and he gave me an update. And he's a gun guy. Junior is a hardcore gun guy. Like, he reloads his own ammo, for crying out loud. So I, knowing that he is a part of that, and I know that he was very instrumental when all of that stuff was happening after Parkland as well, I don't think that you would ever see something like that from the White House. And I can understand why people would be nervous about it. I just, knowing what we know about Kamala Harris and everything that we've heard from her, I feel like not having a strong vote against her helps her. I do not want people coming to my door because I own a semi-automatic firearm, because it will not go well for them, and I will not comply. Absolutely will not comply. And I'm not the only person. There are millions of people in this country, hundreds of millions, who also will not comply. And so I consider that, and I'm like, that's why you can't have someone like that in office. That's been a cornerstone of her foundation for so long. I understand what he's saying, but I also, again, he's young, he's idealistic, and I think that there is some strategy, and it's not about being dumb or being ignorant. It's just something that you get through experience and age. Wisdom is different from smarts. You know, wisdom is something that you know, you accrue through experience and living, and it's time tested and it's battle won and all of that. And I think he has a certain amount of wisdom because of the experiences that he has. But this is a political negotiation at this point, and this is kind of new for him. I think people need to kind of give him a break. I mean, the guy was almost killed. I mean, you know, he shot and killed a dude. So I think people need to maybe chill the hell out a little bit with just the cult of personality and the witch hunt and going after everyone. The right does not do hive mind, guys. And I don't care how many people we bring in the coalition. That is something you are always going to have a problem with. We are not the left. We do not do hive mind. And frankly, I think enough people have fought and died that they can do whatever the hell they want to with their vote, even if I think it's wrong. So chill out. I mean, God love him. He's almost a fetus. Come on. That's what we were joking about. Yeah, I know he's like 21 years old. You know, he's almost as old as toddler Hunter Biden, who, by the way, weird segue, has been hanging out with Sean Penn.
Oh, boy.
Waiting to hear about that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's the latest. That's some of the latest. We got Florida Man on the way as we roll towards headlines.
Are you okay with abandoning arts, culture, and music to the radical left? For Pastor Alan Jackson, this one isn't negotiable.
I mean, all of our classic music and so much of our classic art has Christian themes. And somewhere along the line, the last 100 years or so, we really stepped away from that. And we've got to come back with courage and boldness. I'm not willing to relinquish the arts to darkness and evil. Right.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So I know it's like it's not really Florida Man, but it's Florida Storm. So they're getting a tropical storm and it's headed Florida's way. They're saying it's a potential, you know, it's a tropical storm. They've got warnings issued. And all I know is that, like, good night. They need to get a break from this. But they got to just, you know, listen to. Make sure you listen for the warnings issued for your area. But they've got, I'm looking at like the satellite that I do, the Ventusky. I was looking at that satellite. They're tracking it, and it looks like it's the way that it's like a tropical cyclone 4. They think it's going to become a tropical storm Debbie? Debbie? Really?
Dang it, Debbie.
It's Debbie. I know that there's like a formula that they follow to name these things, but still. So they're saying like around Saturday, it's going to be right there, North Cuba. And then it's going to be going in on the Gulf side towards like Naples and then, you know, all of that up around like Saturday, Sunday. So everybody be safe.
And
just be
Debbie
safe.
Debbie with a Y.
Yeah, Debbie with a Y. This Florida man, some of this I have on the rundown, some I don't because my everything's going crazy. Florida man was arrested because he tried to steal a decorative turtle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got in trouble because he tried to steal a decorative turtle. Cape Coral. He was arrested after trying to take this turtle. He was hiding in the bushes. He looks nuts. He was arrested after allegedly entering a homeowner's backyard, attempting to steal the decorative turtle before hiding in the bushes. His name is Cade Logan. He was arrested on Friday after Cape Coral police responded to a home for reports of a suspicious person on the property. And they said the homeowner called police, reported that he was walking around. Yeah, he was trying to steal this like a yard ornamentation that they had. We have third hour on the way. Don't go anywhere.
I mean, yesterday to the National Association of Black Journalists, where he said that Vice President Harris is, quote, all of a sudden black. As a father of 3 biracial children, did those comments give you pause at all?
They don't give me pause at all. Look, all he said is that Kamala Harris is a chameleon. She goes to Georgia 2 days ago. She was raised in Canada. She puts on a fake Southern accent. She is everything to everybody, and she pretends to be somebody different depending on which audience she's in front of. I think it's totally reasonable for the president to call that out, and that's all he did. I mean, look, she's running as a tough-on-crime prosecutor, even though she implemented open border policy. She's saying that she wants to support the police, yet she wanted to defund the police just 3 years ago. It's totally reasonable to call out the fact that she pretends to be somebody different depending on the audience she's talking to.
You know, I listen to questions like that, and I'm like, open-handed slaps should be accepted as responses, legitimate responses. Why can't I do that? That's sexist.
Assault.
Yeah, it's sexist. that I can't. Welcome back to the show. It's Friday. Dana Lash with you. Fighting allergies like crazy. And which I don't know why. Like, Texas, the hell's up with you? Why are you like this? Make sure you go sign up at Substack, Chapter and Verse, all kinds of good stuff out there. And I just saw a tweet. Where's this at? Our friend Vegas Larry. By the way, you know, you can go and hang out at Rumble. There's a discussion that happens there. You can find us on X, Channel 347 DirecTV. I'm required to say the Channel 347 DirecTV part. But you should go watch it. The tweet from Kamala Harris, she says she's honored to be the Democratic nominee for President of the United States. She'll accept the nomination. How many people voted for you? Com, how many people voted for you? Oh, none. That's right. None. That is correct. None voted for her. She had not a single person that voted for her. She's just being selected by the powers that be. The New York Post had a story about how she berated. She would scream at her staff, leave them in tears, and that people were told to not make eye contact with her. What? Why? Don't they tell you that with dogs? Like an aggressive dog? Or no. Isn't it like a dog or something like that? Cats? I don't know. Like some animal, they tell you not to look. And you're not supposed to show your teeth to dogs, right? To aggressive dogs or something? I don't know. That, this is literally a line from the New York Post piece. A.G. Harris instructed her entire staff to stand every morning as she entered the office and say, "Good morning, General." Gregory was also given instructions to never address Harris nor look her in the eyes. That privilege was only allowed to senior staff members. I mean, I know we made fun of Amy Klobuchar for eating, like combing her hair with a fork and being kind of brat, as they would say. But I'm just, you know, this seems a little ridiculous. You're not J-Lo. You're Kamala Harris. You're Willie Brown's ex-girlfriend. You're not J-Lo. Gotta say, you're not, you ain't her. So they, she seems like she's hiring her own supply, man. I gotta say, like all of a sudden you're seeing her everywhere with Joe Biden now. Like if Joe, like on that tarmac, Lauren said that that was like late at night, and that's one of the reasons. He had already sundowned times five, and that's why he sounded so crazy. But the idea that you don't ever really see Biden address anything by himself anymore. She is the de facto president. They're trying to make it seem like that so that her election is just a formality. And I do want to warn you about this, as dumb as it is. The media is going to work overtime to make her a thing. And I've seen some of the polls. And you know what? Trump needs to not help her. He needs to not help her. I was looking at some of this. Where's this? Let me pull this up. I was looking at some of this polling. So it and there, I know that there's the RCP averages and that, and there's a couple of polls. In a lot of these swing states, they are within the margin of error of the margin of error of the, of each other, and they're very close. That makes me incredibly uncomfortable. I don't want to see that happening. And they have some of the latest. So in Wisconsin, according to 538, they're 50-50. In Michigan, it's Harris 54, Trump 46. In Pennsylvania, it's Harris 47, Trump 53. Now, that's what 538. He says that it's as it is right now, according to the model that he has with the available polling data that he has. He said that it is a toss-up. And that's even with all of the bad economic news that we have coming in from the administration. I mean, you have the worst two-day period for S&P since September of 2022. We've got bad jobs numbers. You know, it's not, none of this is good. And even with that, you, in the national polling average, and this is for 538, they have her plus Trump by 1.1. And they say that the race is well into toss-up territory. Now, RCP is just a little better. You look at some of this. RCP is just a little better when you look at the matchup of Trump and Harris. And it has them, I mean, it only has Trump plus one, really. I mean, yeah, well, today's is 1.2. Yesterday's it was, you know, one. But they're tied. It should not even be like that. It really shouldn't. They shouldn't be tied. It should not even be anywhere remotely that close. There are a few reasons why it is. And I think that one of those is, and you can't talk about it on the right, because any kind of, any attempt to ascertain any open areas, any weaknesses, and try to fix them is considered betrayal, because the right has, I know a lot of you don't want to hear this, but a lot of people on the right have turned into the left. They cannot have any kind of constructive conversations, even for the sake of improving a campaign and winning a race. Because I've told you guys 6 ways to Sunday, I will legitimately, I say this without an ounce of joking in my system, I will run down your damn grandma. I do not care. I want to win in November, and anything that gets in the way is an obstacle. That includes ego, that includes misguided idiots, whatever it is. Anything that gets in the way of not having her in the White House is an obstacle. So, that being said, the reality of this, and I think, yes, the media does have a lot to do with it, but I think that candidates sometimes don't help themselves. It is not the voter's job to do something for the candidate. It is not the voter's job to rehabilitate the candidate. It is not the voter's job to make the candidate's policy seem more palatable. It is not the voter's job to make sure that the candidate does his or her outreach. It is not the voter's job. It is the candidate's job. You can't say that candidate A or candidate B is going to be a fighter for their voters and then demand that their voters actually be the fighters for them. That is not how this works. And so part of this is the media, and part of it is the candidate and their team. That is a reality. I want to go back really quickly to 2020. Now, I'm not saying that for every state and every county, but there were some where I actually did pour through the hard numbers and the data because it's literally my job. So in Texas, you guys know we got Senator John Cornyn here in Texas. He's not very popular. There was, it was funny, there was one instance where I was at an event. I was at a fundraiser, which I normally don't go to. But this one, this was a party fundraiser, and I was a guest of, I was sitting at a table with some veterans, and it was a party fundraiser. So my husband and I went, and we were there, and my husband's very friendly. You know, he says hi and talks to everyone, and he walked past Senator John Cornyn and said hello to the senator. And he said, you know, the senator wasn't rude, but he wasn't, you know, entirely receptive, kind of dismissive, like, oh, hi, whatever. And my husband was like, well, I guess, you know, he had more important people to talk to. That's fine. You know, didn't really think anything of it. And then later when the senator saw me and I was standing next to my husband, you know, came right up and said hello and, you know, shook my hand. And then I said, this is my husband. And then he realized, I could read his face. He realized that he just kind of brushed him off a little bit earlier and was like, oh my God. And I don't like it when people do that. I can't stand that. That is a pet peeve of mine. And, I just thought that was kind of, I filed that away and I kept it in my bank, my memory bank. The reason I'm bringing this up is he's just not super popular in Texas. You know, I have a cordial relationship with him because he's a senator, you know. I mean, what am I going to do in one person? But I have a cordial relationship with him. He's just not very popular. Now, in Texas, it wasn't that there were some bunk ballots or anything like this, because the people who are running the system are actually hardcore grassroots people. In my district, they are hardcore grassroots people who run it. In every precinct, you know, that's, if you have a problem with your polling area, usually that's because Democrats run it, and it's always a mess. Notice how it always happens in Democrat areas, by the way, whenever they have those polling breakdowns. It's always in Democrat-run areas. So in our area, you know, we have these grassroots people, the hardcore conservatives that run voting, etc. And Trump struggled in Texas. And Cornyn, it's not that people didn't vote. Republicans were coming out to vote. But what they were doing was leaving the very top of the ballot either blank or they wrote someone in. This is in 2020. And that meant that it wasn't a reduction compared to previous elections in Republican votes, although more Republicans need to turn out. We always have low turnout. It was that people were not voting for president, or they were writing in someone. And that is how John Cornyn got more votes in the state of Texas than Trump did. Now you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, that's in Texas. It is in Texas. And it's not because there was like lefty weirdo stuff afoot. And I can say that with 1,000% confidence because we're active in our area. We know, and you should be as active in your area too. We know what voters are thinking. We know. And there were people who were tired of drama. They wanted policy. They were a little upset about, you know, some immigration things that hadn't gotten done. They were mad that tax cuts weren't made permanent. You know, there were legitimate concerns that they had. And it was sort of, they felt burned out. Remember what I told you months ago about voter burnout? It's happening again, too. So that's a problem that their campaign never remedied. They never corrected it. And a lot of the people that were involved in that are in the campaign now. So that's carrying over. After someone tried to murder him, there's, I think, a lot of things that I would have done differently if I were advising a campaign. And again, this is going to sound very Machiavellian, but this is the nature of things. To build on that, quite frankly, to really build on that and shut out any and all discussion or attention from the opposition. And now instead, I have sheet after sheet of numbered sound bites for you about DEI and about race. We got job numbers can't come in. Do you think that anybody in the Republican Party has hit that today? Has anybody? No. How many sound bites do we have? How many do we have yesterday, Kane, that were just on DEI alone?
Oh, yeah. We at least had a handful yesterday.
Every Republican out there is trying to get a sound bite in on it. The economy is in the crapper. Excuse the Portuguese. That should be the number one thing being hit today, and Republicans are not hitting it. Instead, everyone's arguing over DEI because they're taking the media and Harris's bait on it and being led per usual. I don't care who you have as a candidate. When the party never learns its lesson and when campaign operatives never learn their lesson about being baited and taken in by the media, you're not going to win it. There's no master class being given here except one by the media. And I don't like saying that because I, more than anybody, loathe them and have reason to personally. But it angers me because I see these mistakes that are being made and I don't see them being corrected, and it's impacting. And that's why you're seeing some of the polling the way it is. It's not because it's bad polling. It's because that's kind of, I think, sort of reflective right now. Not every poll's the same, but we are 90 some odd days out and early voting starts even sooner. We've got to get a handle on this. And there's certain things we got to fix in order to be victorious and put some distance between these candidates in favor of 45. And the way that it's being approached now is not the way to do it. We'll talk more about this. We have headlines on the way as we roll towards the bottom of this third hour. Our partners that help bring you free radio, the folks over at Kel-Tec. The P15 is an awesome, awesome pistol. It's like an all around. I mean, it's something that you definitely need to have in your collection. Sleek, compact, 15 round capacity, lightweight and powerful. And then there's the metal frame version. You have the polymer as well. Striker fire pistol, textured grips, true classic look and feel. I have both of them. Metal version looks like a James Bond gun. It's awesome. Tritem and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot reader, keeps you on target. You got the striker fire reliability, great pull, and lifetime warranty as well. This is great, and it's just really ideal for concealed carry self-defense, and it's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. It is the P15 9mm, concealable, dependable, and you've got your firepower, quality made right here in the U.S. of A. So check them out, KeltecWeapons.com. You can learn more there, K-E-L-T-E-C, KeltecWeapons.com. Bring the P15 to the range today and tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Sorry, I was reading all your all's comments about the Turkish shooter compared to the South Korean shooter. You guys are killing me. You guys are so brat. Wait, I don't think that, is that right? I don't know. Steve is out now. Steve's traveling. So Steve's our official Gen Z to Millennial transcription service. So, all right. So headlines. Ammo machines. What? Company behind ammo vending machines wants to expand them in more states, including California. This is amazeballs. American Rounds, based in Dallas. Now, I'm not going to say that American Rounds should put one of these vending machines in my house, but I'm going to say that American Rounds, which is based in Dallas, And Dallas Kane is where we are in Texas, where we are residing.
I could tell you, I'd make a weekly purchase.
I mean, you know, they said they want to install more ammo vending machines. Maybe they said they have eight. They debuted machines at eight stores, including some in Texas, Alabama, and Oklahoma. I don't have a store, but I am all my own customers. So I just want to say, American Rounds, based in Dallas. Someone cut this and send this to sales. Maybe we should have one of these in my home. It'd be amazeballs. It'd be amazing. You got to scan your driver's license to validate that you're 21 years or older. It's like, I want one of those old, I want it to be like one of those old cigarette vending machine style where you pull the, I have other headlines, but I don't care about any of them right now because I just want this one where you pull the thing. My grandparents had one of those. Pull the thing and then the stuff out, drops out. No, Gen Z doesn't know what I'm talking about right now. They don't. All right, we got a lot more on the way. Sorry, I just hijacked this segment. Stick with us.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes. Perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
And when we all sing happy tunes and sing Merry Christmas and wish each other Merry Christmas,
yeah,
these children are not going to have a Merry Christmas. How dare we speak Merry Christmas?
How dare
you? How dare we?
How dare you? Blank your Christmas. Blank Santa. Blank them reindeer.
Can't speak it?
No, you can't speak it.
Oh.
Wait, what do you mean speak Christmas?
Yeah.
Is that like, that's brat? I'm not making any promises at all this segment. It's Friday and I don't care anymore. I feel like Ricky Gervais at the Golden Gloves. I just don't care, you know? I don't care. Get your award. Get the hell off stage. I don't care. I don't care. It's the last time. It's not the last time, but so welcome. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash, bottom of this third hour. So this, wait, when this was a 2017 press conference, what is she talking about? Oh, illegal immigrants. So because you want people to come across the border lawfully, so we know who's who, that means you can't speak Christmas. What is speaking Christmas?
You know.
Speaking Christmas, that. You know, like making Christmas. I don't
know. Like saying, you know, tidings of great joy, stuff like that. You can't.
Fa la la la. No.
Cannot say it.
Deck the halls. No.
Cannot speak it.
Away in a. No.
Oh, stop it.
Gosh dang.
How dare you?
Jingle, but no. How
dare you try that?
How dare you? Mmm. Like, she's really mad in that clip. It's from 2017. This was right after Trump announced the end of deferred action for childhood arrivals, the DACA. And she was losing her mind about this. How dare we speak Merry Christmas? Well, my first language, my second language is Merry Christmas, King.
Yep.
Merry Jesus' birth. Merry Christmas. Fa la 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 la. And all good things. Good tidings to you. You and your kin. So I love speaking Merry
Stop
Christmas.
Speaking like that. How dare you?
Feliz Navidad. Oh. Definitely don't speak Merry Christmas in Spanish. I'm just saying. She's like really upset over that. But it's crazy that they were so upset. Now, you guys know what DACA was. Deferred Action Childhood Arrival. So if all the people that were dragging kids, half of them that weren't even theirs, remember, that's one of the reasons under Obama Biden who started this. Whether you like it or not, acknowledge the fact that Obama started this. Because word got out that, there's some creepy adults bringing some kids across the border. Some of them were the same kids over and over again because they were doing a rent-a-kid. I've been down there. I talked to Border Patrol. And it was like they had pictures of the same kid like over like a 2-year period. And it was just one kid. They were tracking. Border Patrol was actually trying to monitor the well-being of these children because nobody else was, because they were seeing the same kids. Like, how many daddies do you have? You cannot have 6-7 different dudes bringing you over being like, this is my son. No, it's not. But everyone was doing it for DACA, because if you brought a kid over, you would get expedited faster, et cetera. You get in, and they say the cartels would send the kid back, et cetera. Some of the kids that were brought over under this program were able to stay, and then through no fault of their own, because they were kids and they were dragged by their adults, you know, their parents, and that's DACA was meant to assist them. So the separation that took place at the border that started under Obama Biden, because they were trying to make sure that these kids weren't being trafficked. And they would separate them for a brief period to make sure that they were their actual parents. And they would try to verify it because they did not want kids sold into sexual slavery. So I will say, at least if you can hate everything about what Obama Biden did, I mean, if you're going to do that kind of stupidity and create a major problem, at least try to do anything you can to tamp down the child trafficking, please. And so when Trump ended DACA, which was like a huge thing, DACA, the Dreamers, all of that, they were trying to push the Dream Act forward and create a pathway for citizenship for people who were brought here as kids. One of the things that the campaign had said going into 2020 and 2018, people, there were a lot of Republicans saying, well, a lot of these quote unquote kids are like 19, 20 years old now. And if you can apply for college and do all of this other stuff, why can't we modify at least the law to say, all right, if you're applying for citizenship and you're following the legal pathway to become a citizen and you're being honest about your identity and all this other stuff, okay, then maybe we'll consider you for inclusion in that. But Democrats didn't even want to go that far. They were just like, no, blanket amnesty. I mean, they weren't even willing to meet Republicans on a compromise. And regardless of whether or not you agree with that compromise or not, the issue is that Democrats weren't interested in that. They weren't. They were only interested in blanket amnesty. They were not interested in solving any kind of issue. So that's all at the tail end of that. She's so ridiculous. When she tries to act hard ass, you know how like certain women try to act tough and you're like, really? Really though? And like some dudes too, like if Poot Buttigieg decided to act real tough, would you believe it, Kane? If Poot Buttigieg looked right in your face and said, you, I'm going to beat your butt.
I would laugh. You couldn't do anything but chuckle in that moment.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? So it's like, and I see her do this kind of stuff. I'm like, really? Don't speak Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Just saying. That was a press conference after the end of DACA. That's where that came up from. I love how all these clips are coming out. It's actually hysterical. The gun control stuff, though, is frightening. Oh, and by the way, you know, because the jobs report is bad, right? The latest U.S. job growth slowed to 114,000 in July. Unemployment has jumped. Yeah. Guess who got the blame for that?
Was it Trump?
Guess who got the blame for it, Kane? I'll do multiple choice.
All right.
Okay. So if you're Harris, because Biden is already sundowned in Delaware.
Right.
If you're Harris and you get the jobs report, right, and job growth has slowed to 114,000 in July, we're talking about right like in the last month.
Yeah, we have a 3.5-year history of them being in charge. Okay,
uh-huh, yeah, and you have unemployment inched higher to 4.3 against expectations that it would hold at 4.1.
Right.
Highest level for jobless rates since October 2021. Again, since October 2021.
Also,
very important.
More government jobs. Not as many as last month, but more.
But 21. Guess who Harris blames for that? Now, is the answer, since we were just saying you can't speak Merry Christmas, is the answer number one, Santa Claus?
Oh.
Is it number two, Donald Trump? Is it number three, Island of Misfit Toy Characters?
Okay.
Or is it number four, I don't know who else it would be.
A squirrel?
Yeah. No, Biden's dog that bites
Biden's
people.
Dog.
Who's to blame for it?
Huh. Wait, what was that first one again? No, I think
Santa.
I know what it is. Yeah, it's not Santa because I know how much he hates Christmas. So, yeah, it's going to have to. I'm going to go with number two. I'm going to go with
that
B.
That is
Trump.
And ding, ding, ding. You are correct, sir. What? Did you like our music? It's very high and we paid licensing for it. You are correct, sir. Kamala Harris has blamed Trump for the latest dreadful jobs report.
How long has Trump been out of office?
Yeah, since 2020.
Oh.
And again, do you remember what I said? How the highest level for jobless rates since October of 2021. You know what October of 2021 is? It's not January 2020.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's very different.
Yep.
So like if you were comparing October 2021 to January 2020, you can't. Because they're not the same thing.
Not even close, actually.
So she literally said in a statement, quote, Donald Trump has failed Americans as president, costing our economy millions of jobs, bringing us to the brink of recession. She blamed him for this. It's his fault, apparently, the jobs report. She's
Somebody's getting into Hunter's supply.
Well, he's too big. Well, he may have left it behind. He's with Sean Penn right now. Who isn't he Maduro's friend, Sean Penn?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's hanging out with Sean Penn right now. I guess they're like doing blow together. I don't know. But yeah, she said that it's all Trump's fault that the job numbers are really bad last month. That the report, the jobs report that is out. Because so I guess Trump has a magical property to him. He's got this ability to actually affect policy inside the White House, even though he hasn't been in the White House since 2020. It's very interesting, is it not?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Super interesting. So, I mean, I don't know why she thinks that's his fault, but it's his. It couldn't be the people who have been in office since that time till now. Could not have been them.
Or that additional spending.
Yeah, no, no, no. Don't even get into that. I mean, you know, apparently Biden and Harris did not do anything but what Trump did. They didn't add any new plans. They just let it stay the same. They didn't do anything. They just went in there and sat on their hands and didn't do anything for all these years. So that's why they blame Trump, apparently. Now, if you believe that, I don't know if you're in the market for a bridge property, but I have an amazing...
I actually have been looking for a bridge.
Yeah, well, you know, I have... There's a bridge that's actually in London that I can sell you.
You know what's going to be horrible is what they do every election year, especially when a Democrat is trying to get reelected, is the Fed is going to commit to lowering rates that they had to raise because of the overspending of government. So now they're going to falsely lower rates in order to make it look as though the economy is doing this soft landing thing instead of an actual crash, which is what we're all to be expecting, honestly.
Yeah.
So they're going to find a way to postpone this crash just long enough. So it's advantageous for them to blame it on Republicans.
Yeah, but then if she ends up winning, heaven forbid, let's not have that happen. I just saw a picture that she apparently took with Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
Save the pantsuits for other people, ladies. Save some of those pantsuits. It's pantsuit 2024. Oh my gosh. I Democrats, why do they not have like likable women? Hillary Clinton has never been a likable woman. Kamala Harris is not a likable woman. Amy Klobuchar wasn't a likable woman. Big Gretch isn't a likable woman. Why do they have a problem with likable women? Elizabeth Warren's not a likable woman. What is up with that?
Jennifer Granholm.
Oh my gosh, she's not a likable woman.
Janet Yellen. She's like the female penguin.
She's like the liberal version of the character that designed the costumes on The Incredibles. That's a hobo suit. I mean, why do they not have any likable women on the left?
We started with Pelosi.
Yeah, she's not. It's weird, right? Yeah. Like, think about it. Here's an exercise real quick. Think about one likable, amiable Democrat woman. Who do you got?
Give me a second here.
Who do you got? Don't you dare say Kyrsten Sinema. She left the party. I heard someone thinking that. Kyrsten Sinema left the party. She didn't count anymore. Can't pick her. Otherwise, I'd give that to you.
Kathy Hochul. No, that's...
Really? Did you just say Kathy Hochul?
I'm thinking out loud. What are you going to crucify me for that?
Oh, my gosh.
See, Lori Lightfoot. No, I guess Lightfoot.
Oh, my gosh. Did a voice in your head say Lori Lightfoot, Kane?
I'm going through all the women on the left that I know exist, and I can't.
You can't think of one.
I can't even think of a like close one, Maxine.
What are they going to do?
No, Maxine Waters definitely.
Because they keep saying the future is female, but all their females are kind of some bees. I just got to say, you know, we got more on the way. You don't want to miss as we roll towards the conclusion of this insane hour. I don't even know anymore. It's all crazy. Of our partners that help bring you free radio. It's Hillsdale College. Hillsdale is a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty, founded in 1844. And at Hillsdale, they have a really, if you like documentaries, if you like history, if you like any of that, all of that stuff, any or all of it, you're going to enjoy this video that they have up on their website, dana4hillsdale.com. It's Thomas Jefferson reflecting on the meaning of the Declaration of Independence in a letter that he wrote late in his life. And you can see it at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can also get a free commemorative copy of the Declaration of Independence as well that you can keep for yourself, that you can, you know, pass on to somebody. It's, you know, yours to do with whatever you want. And with Hillsdale, like I said, it's an actual educational institution, and they understand the importance of our republic's principles, which is why they want to preserve them and also educate people about them as well. You can type in Dana4Hillsdale.com to check out this awesome video, and you'll also get a free commemorative copy of the Declaration from Hillsdale. Visit Dana4Hillsdale.com.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. And we're at the end, towards the end here of this third hour on a Friday. We made it all the way in. I just want to point out, because I keep, this is like blowing up that Rittenhouse thing. 21-year-olds are going to change their mind on stuff, and I think everybody needs to like stop losing their mind over every damn thing that happens. Honestly, that's unpopular to say. I don't have enough middle fingers to give you my thoughts on what I think about what the internet deems to be popular or unpopular, and it seems to change with the wind, which is also kind of why we are in the position that we're in the first place. So I think that people need to give a 21-year-old a break if he decides to write in Ron Paul a over 10-year-old strategy. But that's okay. I mean, I just, that doesn't mean that you can't support the Second Amendment, and it doesn't mean that you can't think that he didn't act in self-defense, all of things which he did. So I don't know. Everything is dumb. It's all dumb. Everything is dumb. I'm so glad it's Friday so everyone can take a collective breath and, because guys, 90-something days out. And they already called the lid for Biden. He's in Delaware. He'll be there. I actually don't know next week when he's supposed to go. I just realized, I don't know. When is he going back to D.C.? When is he back?
That is a good question.
Because they already called the lid. They called the lid at noon. So he's been.
Right.
Yeah.
Hoping Monday?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe Monday. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, we shall see. So, yeah. Today in stupidity, guys.
All right, this would be Deputy Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby. Juan, this is cut number 8. This is him essentially saying Biden, Harris, this administration, they're actually not even in charge. They're not even in charge of anything. Listen to this.
Could you say something about this, though? Does President Biden and Vice President Harris think that it is justice for the Gitmo prisoners that perpetrated the 9/11 bombings? Is it justice for them to get plea deals from the United States?
So I can say this on that. Number one, this was a decision made by an independent military convening authority inside the military commission's process. Mm-hmm. The White House was not aware that the deal was in the works. In fact, we weren't even aware that it had been inked.
So the White House wasn't aware?
Who's supposed to be the commander in chief? They were unaware that this was in the works. Great job, guys. Great job. Yay, we're so happy. We're so pleased. And that does it for us this week. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter, and Verse. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Have a wonderful weekend. I will be back with you on Monday.